Hello out there. I'm Mr. Sulu of Star Trek. When I'm out in space, I use the Starship Enterprise to get around. When I'm here in Milwaukee, I ride the bus to save time and money. Your $5 weekly pass is a great buy. Your bus tickets, the greatest. Take it from a man who knows. Your Milwaukee County Transit System is really out of this world.
Come ride with us on the bus.
Hey, what's going on? It's Thursday night. We got together with the fellas and said we were going to do a quick 20 minutes right after the Celtics game. So let's listen together. I seem to remember, well, we had connection issues. What else is new? So we all turned our screens off, and so it involved me talking even more than usual, it seemed to recall. And although we didn't set out to talk about Griffin, it just kind of shook out that way, I think, a little bit. So I seem to recall this one got a little bit, well, I don't know, negative is never really the word, but I just feel like it got a little bit more animated. So I feel like it was some good stuff. So we'll jump in and talk a little bit, and I'll interject if I need to clean some stuff up, because I think it kind of got, again, one of those podcasts, I think, where we were like, this sucks so bad. By the way, we're still going to win it all. But that's my recollection at the time. So we'll listen together, and like I said, I'll bop in and out where I need to or where I clean up anything. So enjoy.
How was the game? Are we not talking about it yet?
Hey, welcome to the show, so on and so forth. What's going on? Kendrick didn't see the game. How was the game? Or Jay saw the game.
Yeah, frustrating as usual, like typical Bucks stuff. Like, we didn't have Giannis, so no one's like really, really expecting for us to win. But for the most part, we still could have won, but we were too stupid on the small stuff for it to matter. They don't play hard enough 90% of the time to be in any game. So
I'll have the stats. I missed the game. It doesn't look that bad.
I think
from what I'm seeing, it looks like they were missing the gravity that Giannis provides.
It was still controllable. That's the problem, right? We lost when it was controllable. Like, too many second chance looks, too many turnovers that led to fast breaks on like unforced errors. Not even like, that just didn't go your way. It's like, no, you decided you were going to pass right no matter what and didn't look at the defense. So we got back into it, but we were mainly down 18 the whole game. Dame hit a three at the buzzer to make us only lose by three, but that was really six. But like I said earlier, the refs did like have their finger on the button the last 2 minutes, calling whack stuff on Tatum so we would relax our D. And matter of fact, go back to the game, just for any other listener that might have T-balled the game. At 8:01 in the first quarter, we call a timeout after Tatum hits a three. We come back from commercial, and they have the ball again. And we lose by three, now that I think about it. So a little bit of something funny business going on.
So
there was no explanation?
No explanation from anybody.
Nope. I woke up after work at 8 o'clock, and so it was 28-21 when I turned on the game. But because it's on ESPN, I've been doing this weird thing. There's this weird thing where I can be some kind of way logged in, and I can either watch the game in Spanish or I can watch it on like angle three, like the video game angle, which is somehow better than the TNT game time or whatever, the TNT OT or whatever that is, where it's just the ISO angle from like, this looks like a 2K angle.
Yep.
And no announcers. And there was a weird distancing where I didn't get too high or you guys know I'm kind of Team Portis, so I would have been pumping my fist more. But it was like watching a game from heaven or something. Like, I was just very distanced from kind of what was happening. The comeback seemed fake, but I was into it. But, like, you can really see from the, like, basically the all-22 angle how bad the close arts were on Pritchard. And when you're watching it from above, you're like, Horford's not going to get that rebound too, is he? Like, they just look so much more physical from the above angle, you know? And so I think my glances at Bucks Twitter, everybody's like, oh yeah, we got the Celtics. So Giannis wasn't there. And I'm a little hesitant on that one, but I think everybody is now saying this is a good loss. What I didn't get to see, I just been super busy. I didn't get to see the Suns game at all.
Hey, Kendrick, why don't you cut your camera in case that helps the family?
Oh, with him? Okay.
Yeah, just in case it helps.
Did you catch any of that or no?
No, we didn't hear it.
I caught, last thing I think I heard was something like, the last thing I got to see, and then it cut.
I didn't catch the Suns game at all. But I what I was saying is I think people are now more hyped because Giannis isn't there. I don't know. Neither bad nor good.
Well, you know, I'm not on Twitter, but I think Twitter is missing the forest for the trees. Giannis rarely ever plays good with Dame. So you can't just say addition plus addition. When one of them's here, like, it's not the same team. They don't play the same. And the real question, do you rock with these dudes? Because I think that's the most important thing. Quit looking at stats. Do you rock with these dudes? Do you find them respectable as basketball players? Because if the answer is no, why on earth would you pick them to go to the finals or anywhere? We have right now, we're looking down the barrel of possibly getting Miami or Indiana in the first round. I don't think we've got a good chance of beating either of those teams based on who they are, which are dudes who seem perfectly fine with losing, right? Like, Pat Bev is a good cog to this team because I don't feel he feels that way. He never goes out there and, like, acts like this game isn't important. But all these other guys, man, they Portis on just, like, turning the ball over when he should have sealed. Like, it's the dumb little things over and over again. And it's top down, man. Like, we're still running Connington way too much. Like, I have no idea why Connington's in the game. He provides literally nothing that someone else wouldn't provide better. He's not locking up his man. Huh?
Who, though? I hear you. No, I hear you. But who off of the bench would you rather play?
Pat Bev should have those minutes if we're just talking about
AJ Green.
More energy, more caring, more boxing out. He sealed, oh my goodness, Porzingis. Porzingis was having his way with Beasley and Dame every time on a switch. He was literally sealing him out 4 feet from the hoop when Portis can't keep him from getting a rebound. Like, that is the kind of stuff that makes you win. I'd love to do a statistical analysis of just what the other team shot, and then how much is the bump because they got second chance looks. Because we're losing on second chance looks. It's worse than our defense. Occasionally the offense is going to miss, but as soon as they get those rebounds, I mean, Pritchard was killing us.
Pritchard always kills us.
He had 13 Bucks in the first half, and so did Dame. So, like,
Bucks had more second chance points, though, man.
It was all, but it's a late flurry. It was down 20, and then I kept looking up, and it was down 10, and then it was again, Portis. Everybody, I'm not changing the subject, but just a quick aside. What do people want for, like, I want Portis to be smarter and everything too, but like this is like the thing with all usage, right? Like, I can't, mm-hmm. You look up and people are like, how could Portis take that quick shot? It's like he's in there to chuck. The question is how many guys are able to chuck. Brook Lopez is in there to chuck. I think they kind of, unless he was hurt, again, I'm listening to it with no sound. I think they pulled Lopez for Portis, and so Portis ate. Like, Portis is a really, 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 really good offensive player. But they're all kind of dumb, right? I mean, like we did 100 podcasts saying they're kind of dumb, but they can cook, right? So it's like, so the narrative of the game first half was like, oh, the Portis Phoenix game was fool's gold. And then he went, I mean, again, I don't want to be too positive on it because it's kind of the thing I always used to generally complain about with Chris. It's like, oh yeah, we were down 20 and then you started cooking and we still lost. So what does it mean? But that's just because Kendrick didn't watch the game. You're looking at the box scores. This was what an embarrassing second quarter game. I already marked it down as a loss for Doc, who was basically a .500 coach with the Bucks. But but it was a very impressive rally. Like Portis went nuclear. Portis missed a free throw, or we'd have been down one with 30 seconds or whatever.
Okay. Portis has actually been playing very well since the All-Star break. But he makes
What else happened since the All-Star break? It was, I mean, again, I don't even mean this like a diss. There's no middle then, right? There's only so much ISO on this team. Like you've got one of the greatest usage players of all time with Giannis. And so it's like, who else gets to fiddle around with it? And I'm not even saying that should be Portis over Middleton, but it's like, yeah, you let Portis be that third banana. Portis is going to cook. And sometimes it'll be Chris, and then Chris is going to cook. And then every once in a while, it's like Beasley, although that's catch and shoot stuff. It's just basic NBA. Like, only so many people get to just do everything. And that's what it is. You got a bunch of overqualified guys for that. And, but the little things, I mean, again, I woke up for the second quarter. So it was like, dog, this game is over. But that's not winning basketball. Like, losing any possession that you lose is not like championship basketball. Like, they should be bad about that stuff. And I feel like they're all Dame. Everybody else is just like, well, we'll catch up at the end, or we won't. Since you can't hear me clearly, y'all talk. Y'all go ahead. This will seem so seamless in the edit, and I'll just have Kendrick be like, okay. Man, what a great point, Ben. Go ahead, man.
What a great point, Ben. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's hard for me to talk about this individual game. I think that they are missing another viable score. You know, Dame is not going to be on every night, nor is Giannis. You know, they need that third fiddle. I don't think Portis can be it, because Portis has a few defensive lapses, and, you know, sometimes they Brooke also has to play. So those two are pretty much swapping positions. I know they brought in Gallinari, but he hasn't been getting much more than 10 minutes a game. So,
and it's been pretty bad from what I mean, again. It's looked pretty bad to me.
He doesn't have a stroke. I don't know if he was ever – I can't remember him ever being great. So it's going to be between Bobby Portis is going to spell Giannis, or he's going to spell Brooke, especially in the playoffs. And I don't think they got enough. You know, like I've been saying this before, you know, I the Dame trade to me was, sure, you take a gamble, and I don't think it's going to
– hey.
I don't think it's going to prove anything.
Hate.
I really
hate,
don't.
Hate.
I'm not hating. I think Dame is a good player. I just don't think that – I think that his deficiencies kind of balance him out, make him just average, because he gives up 25 points to his individual defensive role on the five-man squad. You know, they're either catching up for him, or he's just, you know, like he took took a few charges, I guess, I heard on the radio, but dude's just not great on defense, and he's a liability out there, and they all got to make up for his liabilities. He makes a little bit of effort when he feels like it, but it's few and far in between.
So, Jay,
he has to score 35 points to make up for the 25-30 that he's going to cost his team.
Jay, I want to ask the question about this, but real quick, Kendrick. At the end of the game, from what I could tell, Lillard was mad to get pulled out of the game where Portis tricked a free throw. But, like, defensively, at that point, I want to say it was Portis, Middleton, Beasley, and somebody else. And Beasley,
Portis. They didn't even put Lopez in yet. They put Lopez back in when they swapped the offense, which was really weird to me. Right. Who else was in?
They pulled Lillard for who?
Connington, I think, was still
It was like, yeah, this is going to work. Sorry. Jay, because we don't have to go for 2 hours. Jay, if you would speak to what Kendrick said, as far as he doesn't just we're doing rolling predictions. We can predict every time. It's fine. Do you feel the deficiencies that we all see are just going to be too insurmountable, or what's your feeling? Not just tonight, but just in general.
So this is why I led off with, do you rock with these dudes? right? Last year, I could say all besides like one or two players, I'm like, I like this team. I'm happy with this team. With Matthews, you know, and the actual defensive players, because those guys got in there and they got at it. If you lost, it wasn't for lack of effort. I can't respect these dudes. If I can't respect these dudes, you think the other team's going to respect them? And not that, like, you earn respect by winning, but these dudes don't seem to care about winning, right? We're coming off a year where Giannis had some, like, very passive statements about, well, it's all part of the process and you're winning when we got eliminated. Like, I don't trust none of these guys no more. If you believe in this team, it is not based on anything you've witnessed. It's based on hope, right? Like, it's hoping that Giannis cares when the playoff comes and doesn't get hurt and they all figure it out and that Doc actually doesn't choke even if we're up. Like, there's so many things to overcome at this point. And I don't think Dame's that dude. He can make big shots. He also misses big shots. He missed some down the stretch on this one that he pressed on, and I'm not mad he took them, but he's going like high glass over a defending Brown who's slashing to the hoop, and he missed that shot at the end of the game, it seems like 70% of the time, right? Not completely his fault. Yeah. It should have been a slasher who followed where he should have been able to dish off. The guys just stand around and watch him towards the end. So he really only has to pull up three as a clean shot, and he got blocked on that the other night. So, like, teams have figured out what to do when we stand around and watch. Not his fault. Not blaming him for that. But what I am blaming is he makes 6 points a lot of the times, and you'll be like, it doesn't seem like he's going to get more than six tonight, and that just can't happen. And, like, the mocking that he gets put on him from other teams, like mocking the Dame time stuff, and then coming back and playing this team again and not trying to get in these fools is something I just can't respect, right? Like, if someone talks crazy to you on the court as a hooper, you should be taken to that dude if you think you're better. And I don't see that.
So, but visually, and I know everybody will probably generally agree with this, dude, I can't. It's like a video game with the health bar. I can't tell. Like, you can tell whether it's going in immediately. You can tell by the waggle in his crossovers. You're like, this is probably going to go in. But every, like, just like you said, random, it's almost like they don't care. It's almost like they said, hey, man, you're a 30 point kind of per game kind of guy. Don't worry about your stats anymore. And it just broke him. Because, like, his first and second trajectory, like, the trajectory of his shot early in most games, except for the games where somebody's out or when Chris was out after the All-Star break and all of a sudden it was like, let's eat. I don't think he can handle low usage. And you can say, like, his gravity still does a lot of stuff. It opens up stuff for Bobby and Chris and Giannis. And all that's basically true. But I just thought he was better than this.
Yep.
And
I was hoping.
And again, like we watched a million bad Reggie Miller games, but I thought he was, you know, and it's not my favorite player, but I thought he was from that cutthroat lineage. And in a weird kind of way, it's like, no, he just has no pulse. And he's clutch because he has no pulse. But I don't know, man. Like, I still think, because again, I've seen too many regular seasons where the regular season doesn't matter and all of a sudden the Heat are beating us, we're beating the Heat. I mean, us beating the Heat in 2021, also an anomaly. You just see a bunch of crazy stuff happen. And so I'm hesitant to bury this team, and I've been predicting a title all year. Like, after every bad game, I'm like, title, trophy, 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 trophy. Like, I do think we're going to win, but there have been so many red flags. And I don't know why he just doesn't try to make every shot. When AJ Green shoots, I'm always shocked when it doesn't go in. And when Dame, like, makes it, I'm like, oh, there you go, buddy. You know, and it's just the weirdest thing in the world.
So once again, why would you rock with these guys? Like, the energy says I don't care. It's not like I'm in a shooting slump, woe is me body language. It is whatever from almost all these dudes. And Doc kind of lit a fire under them a little bit where they did come out and press a little bit, but, like, be honest, like, out of all the early energy guys, and even though, like, Middleton came out with good, I'm trying to prove something energy out of the guys tonight. in the first. Now, was Middleton still Middleton? He had a pretty good game for Middleton, to be honest. He was on the plus side of Middleton. Still silly turnovers and whatnot, but like,
yep.
It
see, from what I saw too.
But like, and they're killers though. They're all killers. And when I say killers, I don't mean like, oh, they're gonna take it to you. I mean, we got within the starting off the third quarter. You saw the start of the third quarter though, B, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we were down like 21 or some ridiculous amount going into the third. Dame goes off for like three straight made threes, and then we let some other people touch the ball and let it swing back almost immediately. We got to like two and it was 10 in seconds. And that stuff can't happen, right? You need to know when to slow down. That's when you run a post to Bobby where you put pressure on them not to foul because they're feeling it. It's not three quick possessions to let them get back in the game. And once again, Connaughton should not be out there at all. How many did Connaughton even shoot tonight?
Yeah.
We're missing the forest for the trees. I mean, you guys all offense, 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 offense. When did we get stops? I mean,
the game changed. I mean,
Boston is a really good team. This isn't. They don't get any stops. They're just trading buckets. And if that's the only way they can win is if they can trade buckets. But they go down. It's either Dame chucking a three, going up trying to get a foul in a drive. He had a couple good games where he had almost double-digit assists the last two games, and then tonight, you know, he gets 4 or 6. So I'm not going to blame it all on him. I mean, we all thought that he was – I had my reservations. I didn't think he was going to be this cure-all or that it was going to be this. I was real hesitant on jumping on that bandwagon. And I'm not a hater, but Dame ain't it. Dame is not it. We are not going to get over the hump with Dude because he is a defensive liability. Pat Connaughton is slow of foot. Bobby Portis is slow of foot. Chris Middleton is slow of foot. You know, A.J. Green is putting in just as much effort. Beasley got cut from the Lakers because, sure, he can score, but if he goes into a slump, he was awful defensively when he was with the Lakers. They let him go for nothing. I mean, he's been – when he's firing off and he's making it, you know, it's like, okay. But he tries harder than – him and A.J. – is A.J. Green? Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Sounds like it's too many A.J.'s. Ajax. Okay. A.J. Green. Those two try really hard. Middleton lost a step.
Was there a Bengals receiver that was A.J. Green? Like, why? I screw that up all the time, too. Yep. Is there another? There's been a bunch of A.J. Green? Okay. Yep. Yeah.
So I just think that we're missing it. We don't have enough defense to stop anybody of Boston's caliber. They got too many weapons, and we have too many deficiencies. You know, if Giannis isn't playing, if Giannis played today, he would have had to get his 32. You know, or at least 25, but where are we going to get that from? You know, then Bobby isn't going to play as much. It almost could have been the same way. We would have been maybe a little bit better defensively if Giannis played, but we are not going to beat a Boston team that's healthy.
We'll be bought. I think
We got a chance against Boston.
We'll lose to the Nuggets.
Ridiculous as that sounds, Boston. Our chance comes from Boston because Drew makes all the same dumb mistakes that we're talking about. So when they rock Drew, that's actually another score.
They don't even got to play Drew.
Right, but they will. That's where we come in. Right,
they're not going to play him. They're not going to play him as much as we had to play him. They haven't all year.
Tatum is the same problem. We actually got back in this game. Tatum had 23 in the first half. And then had no real points in the second half. Bad ref calls with like under a minute left put him at the line. That's really how he got points.
He fell apart.
Even through all of our swings, it wasn't him. It was them running a bunch of dudes with energy that killed us because no one's going to work hard enough to stop those dudes. So we have a shot against the Celtics. I think we lose to Miami, and I think we lose to the Pacers.
I think we
– Well, if we – the Miami the will be in the first round. It's going to be another one and done. Because Miami is at number eight right now.
No.
Likely.
No, we'll smoke Miami. We'll smoke. We have too much firepower for that. Again, you have to look at this binary. Like, so this is Boston. We lose game one and we lose the game one against Boston with everything going wrong. And then we'd win. We're split and the problem is just the refs. I mean, the problem is, look, no, to be fair, the problem is every, we're all, I mean, You know, I like to disagree on this pod. Like, we're all basically saying different versions of the same thing. I think the other interesting thing, and maybe I don't know if anybody wants to talk about that, is the players, the despicable players, like, just continued to embarrass the league so much that post All-Star break, they decided to call the game completely different. And now I'm putting...
they sure did.
Like, the height of irony.
I think that they were just sick of the scoring records from nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
I don't all think the flopping, sick of
throwing
it.
Your
I
hand back,
they
getting 20 free throws a game, 70 points here, 65 points here. They were just done with that.
The league isn't done with it. They think that's good marketing. They think that well, they historically have thought, well, this will get people more views, and more views is more eyes, and more eyes is more connection with our fans, and more connection with our fans, it'll grow more into a global sport, yada, yada. But they realized, like, I had stopped watching games. Like, whenever my son would come in the league and be in the room and be like, so-and-so dropped 60. And I roll my eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm a basketball fan. That is not good for your sport. I didn't even watch the game. I assumed I knew what happened. Because I'd seen another 60-point game just like it, where it's like no one played defense. The refs called booty calls the whole night. That's not ball. I'm not really entertained. And I'm putting an asterisk next to that ridiculous scoring event in my head, whether I watched it or not, which means I'm not really wanting to watch regular season. They've done that to themselves. So,
But it's the exact same.
I think that's what the turnaround is really about. But yes, there's an obvious change in the way the refs have been calling these games.
It's the exact same thing though with football. I just feel that this is so. I get on my high horse about this. It's disqualifying. The same way Jay just said, you see a quarterback. Oh, hey, some quarterback in the AFC. Or I didn't watch the game. Oh, he had 4 touchdowns. What a great game. Oh, he had 5. He had 6. If he had 9, you would be like, yo, what happened? And and that's kind of the thing where it's like we all have a thing like, wow, a great quarterback can maybe throw 6 and like in a like. Once in a 3-year extension level event, a guy has 6-6, but like 4 is the standard. 4 touchdowns is a 50-point game. And if we disagree, we can disagree on where those limits are. And younger people can disagree, and older people, like, that's all fine. But you should be fired. I don't care if it's baseball or anything else, if you don't understand this. And the thing that drives me nuts is these soccer dudes. I'm going to alienate everybody who listens to this. These soccer dudes gentrified basketball, and the average Premier League score is still 2-1. Like, they come here for, like, the insane NBA Jam stuff, and then they go right back to watching, like, their beautiful game. And it's crazy that it finally reached this critical mass where they're like, this is too much of this. But, like, right when we get a foul grifter to go with Middleton the foul grifter, and you can you can argue Giannis the foul grifter. Like, they're like, no, no, right? And and if we'd have got our stuff together any of these other years, we should already have 2 titles and another finals appearance. But now it's, like, too much. And I can't say anything because I hate that kind of basketball. I hate it so much. And at least we know the Sixers aren't going to win anything either. But it's a problem. With that being said, I still think we're way better than the Heat or anybody else but Boston. And I think we'll beat Boston.
Yep. I think we got a chance against Boston. Like a fairly decent chance. But I don't know if we make it out of the first round if we play Miami or Indiana.
I would just like to go back to what you said earlier. That thinking that this team has a chance is mostly just hope. They're not going to beat Boston.
Yep, not based on any facts.
They have a stronger chance of getting eliminated by Miami than they do beating Boston.
No.
Do you think that Dame is aware that his whole legacy hinges on this year?
It shouldn't.
It should. It literally should. No offense. Take CP3, right? A dude who has
knows.
Moved around and had a bunch of shots but came up short. But I think anyone who's with a critical eye who watches it realizes like he was either too old at the point you're being critical about, or other people let him down. He like really wasn't making many mistakes, and he gave it his all, and not in like a hard and I choke kind of way, just came up short in a guard in a center's league.
Let's just all praise CP3 because Crib like hyped up this podcast and then like had another whiskey and decided not to. So let's just all praise Chris Paul. Yes, I agree. Go on. I'm sorry. I agree.
Yeah. And like, think about it, how hyped we were to get Dame. And once again, still think we probably should make that trade, even knowing what we know, but because you don't know until you have it. But for me to be completely out of out on Dame before the playoffs is telling of what I read of his character on the court. Like it's based on character. You can be off.
What I'm saying about Dame, I'm not completely out on him. What I'm saying is that I didn't realize how awful of a defender he is. And that has made the losing of Drew, losing of Matthews, losing of Carter, that has made that, I mean, it screams at us every night. It just literally screams. We don't have a follow-up
question. Do you care if he couldn't guard anyone though? Like, would you care if he couldn't guard anyone if he averaged 32?
No. I don't care now, but no.
That's the real problem.
Is he due?
Not good on defense and not scoring. It's the combination of both.
Is he due to get hot? Because again, we've been
I told y'all Dame has to do at least 30 points and at least 6 to 8 assists. Not missing the assists and getting 32. That's not the same. He needs both to make up for the amount of points that he gives up. That team loses points because of him.
But you can't do it because we're not a two-man team, and that's the whole question. That's Middleton, Bobby Brook. No, you're right. I'm just saying
I'm not comparing them to those guys. I'm saying if we had Javon Carter, Matthews, or Drew. I'm saying if we had got rid of Middleton and kept Dame and kept Drew, I mean, we would be – I mean, anyway, it's all spilled milk. But I'm just saying that he costs us points compared to
– You're right.
A slightly more defensive-minded team. We swung the pendulum the other way, hoping that we could outscore teams. And that's just not going to happen every night, especially in the playoffs when defense tightens up. They're already stopped giving fouls out. If they continue with that, we're not going to win. Dame doesn't get that head, throwing his head back, shooting up to do a layup, knowing he isn't going to make it. Instead of dishing it out, if he keeps doing that, we're going to lose. He doesn't play smart.
This feels like, and B, you kind of just alluded to it, that none of our charlatan fall on the floor kind of dudes aren't getting their calls now. This feels like when the NFL changed their rules that you couldn't touch the quarterback, and all of a sudden everything Clay Matthews did for two seasons was a 15-yard personal foul until he was out of the league. Right. That's what it feels like. Like, our guy is getting the worst version of your rule change, and you're not doing it as harshly to anyone else as they are to, like –
Well, look how sucky – I mean, once they stopped giving all that trash to Harden, look how bad he started to look. Or, you know, they were acting like he was a god or something.
But
like,
Harden's was all based on a grip. At least Dame, he's like spring towards the hoop with the intention of shooting before he even gets fouled, and they're wiping it off on fouls from behind. It's very bizarre, the ones, because you generally speaking, it is the wipe move where you go underneath someone's arm that they've historically called, and then basically you throwing your body into somebody. That's not what Dame's doing. Right. He's getting by his man and creating like body contact, but that's a shot. That's an and one shot. It is not like, just don't call the foul if you don't think it's a foul.
It's a combination of he's lost a step, the rules have changed, he's not selling it, and it's still suspicious. Like, every single conversation, I think I tweeted this out, every single conversation, like, I could argue for the defense of the prosecution on everything, including Griffin, including Doc, including everything that's happened this year. Everybody's been right about everything. Griffin wasn't, there was a mutiny, which again speaks bad to them. It's like, okay, they were better under Griffin, but they look better against Doc, but their record was better against Griffin. Well, Griffin played the young guys. Well, some of these old guys, it's like right back, like Brook Lopez hits a bunch of clutch shots, can't move at all. Like, oh, wow, look how good we are without Chris. Then we go on the West Coast, and it's like every single version of this has been basically true. So it's like, I think they're suckers, but like, I also think it may not matter. But I don't see the fire in his eyes, to be honest. But we've all hooped. I think it's very beneficial to play with Giannis, but it's just difficult playing with somebody who's that good. Like, we've all done that play with somebody. Like, it's like the Lure games where you play with somebody who's so much better, and it changes the way you play. So it's not like they're better with Giannis out, but all of a sudden, like, it's the difference between Portis getting 7 shots and 20 shots. Right.
I hear you. I hear you. But this goes back to, do you respect these dudes? Because regardless of who was on my team, whether
the answer
they
is
were
no.
great scorers or anything like that, if I'm getting clowned, that's got to stop. Mm-hmm. If we're losing, that's got to stop. I don't care who's on our team who you do perceive as like a good hooper. The second we're losing, the second we are getting embarrassed, I'm not care. I'm not thinking about that one iota as a hooper. You think Kobe would care about like any?
But
no,
see,
like all that goes out the window.
That's a really good point. And historically,
if you
though,
care about winning, if you care about how you look,
historically, that wasn't. Yeah, coaches can call timeout, but it's also like, hey, take this hard foul. We're just to switch up the momentum of it. Hey, take this bruise to your bicep, and like the whole point again is it's like 6 weeks full of bad takes that like are backed up now. Historically, like everybody's on a bunch of rest. Like you talked about the scoring inflation before. The other thing is, I don't care how great shooters, people act like shooters are so great now. It's not just that coaches don't get mad if you go 0-for-5 from three. It's that everybody's super well rested and nobody's getting fouled hard and you're playing less minutes. It's like 20 things, mm-hmm. right? And then the playoffs, like that's why you see like the paper tiger kind of bud kind of teams. Like you see when it comes around, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is a really different game. Wow, like apparently Jimmy Butler's been saving himself all year. And like sometimes Butler and those kind of players like fall on their face too. But it's like all of a sudden, like you have to be prepared to like all of a sudden – Bobby Portis misses 2 shots and everyone's mad because it's like a completely different game. You know what I mean? And so that was kind of the thing. Like, what was it? What was it the year, like 2017? What was the year like the Rockets missed 17 straight threes and choked or whatever year that was?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that can happen in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, all of a sudden, it's not variance. It's not the variance over 82 games. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, we're down 2-1. We got to win game 4 at home now. And that's what's so great about, like, the postseason. It's not, like, just playing this – hey, shoot 10 threes, whatever. And I guess, I go right back and forth. I vacillate from blaming the player. But, like, this has been the Giannis era. Like, this has been the Giannis. This has been Kidd, Prunty, Budenholzer, the coach, I can't hardly remember his name because he was here from a cup of coffee and a Mutiny Griffin, and now Doc. Like, Doc is 12-12 or 12-11 or 12-10 or something like that. Like, it's the Giannis era. This is what, like, a Giannis team does. And so it's like, do they care about winning? I think they're like, well, Giannis is great. We're going to win. And, like, sometimes they're right. But, like, this is what it's been, like, the entire time.
All right, assign blame. Who's the most at fault for our losing?
Chris Middleton. Oh, no. Oh.
He doesn't have a good player, season? By the way. This season.
Tonight or the whole
what
season?
What is the biggest flaw? What, if you had to point, and it doesn't have to be a player, I'm going to say that again. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest flaw in this team? For this season, not currently, but like over the season, where do we go wrong the most?
We lost our defensive identity.
And how did we do that?
Losing Drew, Carter, Matthews.
Yep.
I think that so many of the guys remaining were so used to those guys being there. And the guys that replaced them are a hollow shadow of the guys they're to replace. Offensively, I think we did a great job getting Beasley and Dame. You know, AJ Green, man, that's the most promising rookie two-way contract that I believe the Bucks have ever signed. It's almost like a Miami type of mm-hmm. find, you know, a diamond in the rough like that. I think that kid is going to be good. If he can stay healthy, I mean, that's all we expect him to do is shoot a little bit. If he can come, if they run him off that line and he can run up and shoot a jumper, man, I think he's going to be good. We got some promise there, especially if Beasley leaves in the offseason. It's not going to be that big of a drop, I don't think. But
all right. And
going forward with.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
What's your answer?
He gave his answer.
We lost two.
No, Jay,
we got rid of Matthews, Carter, and Drew.
What's your answer, Jay?
Yeah.
B, what's your answer on it, Ben?
I'm sorry. I've got to add that in there. Only because of the consistency. Okay, so you wanted to change coach. They went in a terrible direction. You just can't bring in a rookie coach with this team with losing that many pieces. I think he would be good with a bunch of rookies. I'm not knocking Griff. I don't even know him that well. But it was just a really bad choice. And I don't know who was responsible for it, but that was really stupid.
You don't want me to do 20 minutes.
I'll leave it at that. I'm
furious about it. I don't want to get into
it. Go ahead.
But yeah. My first word, I thought it was just leadership. It's to me, it's leadership, but I don't know. If you
leadership wanna... at the same level that Kendrick was talking about, where we got rid of our defensive identity, or the team leads aren't holding people accountable. Where are you going with that?
I just think it's everything. I think it's probably really fun. Okay, Beasley, was he a Laker last year? Is that accurate?
Yep.
I imagine it's really fun to be on a Giannis team. It's enough expectations without a lot. I think Thanos is a great hype man. I think people are like, hey, I'm going to do this other thing. It's not going to be my fault if I lose. I think it's probably a lot of fun to play for the Bucks. Right. It seems like Middleton doesn't have a pulse either. There's a lot of low key guys. You can do your thing. You're right by Chicago. I just think people like coming here and then there's no accountability. And the Giannis quotes are, as much as we love like the rah rah stuff, Giannis is going to say we need to do better. Or I don't know what, or he's going to say crazy stuff. He's not a motivational kind of guy. I think he's a lead by example kind of guy. And I just think culture, and again, everybody is two steps slower, including Gallinari, who's 18 steps slower. And so it's just, right. It's just like, not enough. Like, right. So the culture is like, hey, we're professionals. We're professionals. Like Brooke got his kiss on the way out of the door. Chris got his kiss contract on the way out of and it's just like, everybody's well fed. We're professionals. Hey, we're pretty good at this. Maybe I guess my thing is everybody's like, we might could win. Maybe we can win. But they're not like, this is unacceptable that we lose. Otherwise, they'd be like with a different coach. Like if this was Griffin, like mismanaging second quarters to this degree, everybody would be like, well, it's this inexperienced.
You're cutting in and out, man.
It's this inexperienced idiot, right? Great point, mm-hmm. Ben. Great point, Ben. But like, if not, you know what I'm saying? But like, because it's like, this just goes back to the thing. So it's elusive to me because it's like 14% everywhere. And we were just kind of raised to kind of believe that like, it's all these little things that matter that add up to winning. And it's like, I think we might just fluke our way to a title, but nobody's it's not bothering. Like the Reggie White quote, like we lost to Dallas 17 straight times and it didn't seem like it bothered nobody. Right. It doesn't bother.
I disagree with that. They had that. They were about to fall apart with Griff. That's why they got rid of dude. They were fighting. They were fighting him and his changes. They were fighting the coaches.
I think you're right.
Direction.
I think you're right. But here's
they were not happy.
But who's going to again?
Giannis
like
was snapping almost after every game in the media. You never heard that from him before. Never.
But we all knew
Bobby
they needed
Portis
it.
Blows up.
So why does it matter now? That's all I'm saying. Like, again, like I listened to Bill Simmons. I think it was last year, maybe it's 2 years ago. They're like, this guy Mazzulla sucks. Turns out he didn't suck. They just needed to give the black man more than 2 months to get it figured out, right? And the guy before him, Nia Long's husband, like it was 50-50, right? And then like they were like 500 and all of a sudden they got it going. Like we didn't give him the requisite amount of time for a rookie coach. And I'll just die on that hill. Like I would
almost go say, just to get in my, since I initially answered the question, the first part that Kendrick answered, I agree with the most, defensive identity, losing that and losing Carter, Matthews, Drew is the real problem. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and say, I think Griffin was probably a great coach. Just because he didn't get stuff together, like this season, Vet can't get it together either, right? It's the players. Like if they're mutiny, it's because they're late. They're not trying on D. Like they're not scrapping
for
balls.
Trying.
They're giving up 140 points. That's not the coaching. So when they've gotten rid of the defensive identity, they've set him up for failure already. Actually, I believe what he was doing is much better, which is getting the youth on the court, because if you actually have a long-term view, you know you're going to need some guys who can laterally move, box out, and get rebounds. Jackson should still be getting minutes. Yep. We're setting ourselves up for failure not getting him on the court. Portis can't box anyone out and get a rebound. He is a power forward at best. So when Giannis isn't there and then Lopez is off the court, we have Gallinari to get the rebound. This is why we get off second chance points. You have to play Jackson. And Griffin knew that. And he was doing it early in the season. So you got to give those guys minutes.
Totally.
So bring Griffin back. Hot take. Bring Griffin back.
Love it. I'm not taking the time to edit an intro. I'm just gonna throw this up minus the gaps. But yeah, that's. But it's basically it's true, but it's not true. It's true, but it's not true. Like I think so. Somebody tried to check Trey. Like it was that Seth Partnow guy was like, well, they didn't lead a mutiny against Doc, so there's that. And it's like, okay, so they led a mutiny against this goes to the steps to success thing. I feel like every podcast we say the same thing. Because they're not embarrassed that they were unprepared in the bubble, because they're not embarrassed about all those years, because 2019 Raptors is whatever, all these years are whatever, there's no pressure to be because Griffin was always going to be a three steps backwards, hopefully six steps forwards kind of thing, because Bud Ball was a cup of decaf, it was decaf coffee, right? And they were well, this doesn't work. Everyone's mad. By the way, Budenholzer, you were really close to getting fired in 2021. Here's this guy. He's wet behind the ears. Are you going to listen to him? Nah, we're not. No, immediately, no, we're not. No one's playing well, but no, we're not. And again, I think we win with Rivers this year, but that is what happened, right? And so it's all right, cool. But all of a sudden, I was told Mazzola was a bad coach. And I guess he's not now, right? It's almost you just need reps and a structure.
You got to compare apples to apples.
Okay.
It's got to be apples to apples. You can't get rid of the coach that just took you to the championship 2 years ago. Your players are 3 or 4 years in the league longer than the core of Boston at the time. What's his name decided to bang one of his co-workers.
What's his name?
It's just apples and oranges. Udoka. You can't Udoka. You can't compare that change of environment, that change of coach. We all complain about how these guys are spoiled and they need to do this and they need to do that. That ain't the way it is. It is a league of prima donnas and egos and all this stuff. And you need the right guy to come in that's gonna garner their respect.
Once and again,
he's going to be able to bring in a system.
It's chicken or the egg.
It's not Griffin's fault. I said he was a good player.
It was the upper management. All of this is upper management. Getting rid of all our defense is upper management.
Yes.
Hiring Griffin in the first place, if you're not going to give him a fair shake, is upper management. Griffin would have the best record in the East when he was fired.
That don't mean nothing, man.
No, you're right. You're both right.
They were 30 games in. That didn't mean nothing.
Dude.
They fired him. That's my point. You fired someone who could not have done better in his division based on what? What upper management say? The players weren't feeling him? We all saw the problem.
We all felt it. This team is not going anywhere under his leadership.
But
we
had
enough
now.
Games.
We feel
enough.
We feel it now. Nothing's changed.
Coach swapped and nothing changed.
That's just patently false.
It's 82 games.
You can tell already. You can see the difference between.
The same feeling is the same thing. We're basing what should be one of the best Bucks teams of all time on hope, not on anything we've seen with our eyes. So nothing has changed with us getting rid of the coach. That's what I'm saying.
And had we podcasted after that first Clippers game, we'd feel different. And had we podcasted after D'Angelo Russell looked like Michael Jordan against it. Every game is different. And we feel differently because it's just every game is completely different. And it was like Dame looked really clutch at the end of that Lakers game until it wasn't. Is this one of these games where Dame wins it at the end? Is this one of these games where he bumps into Brook Lopez and gets blocked from behind? Right? It's all
Dude, so it's just they're all agreeing on Dame too much.
I think we're all agreeing though. But I'm just saying, dude. Like, and again, you guys can just like, this is, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for you guys. I'm not going in any of the politics of this. I didn't spend in the middle of COVID where there was no sports, like having everybody talk about, we need more black coaches. We need more black coaches. The only way, like, I don't care about that. But if the black players aren't going to listen to the black coach, then this is what you get. The only way you want black coaches, the only way you're ever going to get it is if you have the coaching tree, and you have to let the dude be around long enough. Like, that's what happened in the NFL. NFL, like, Tony Dungy got Herm Edwards on and got Mike Tomlin on, and Mike Tomlin puts whoever else. Like, that's the way it, like, actually works. But if they don't want to listen to the coach in, was it December? Was it January? Like, when did we fire this dude? We fired him immediately, and then we had the other guy, and then the other guy comes in who's, like, has – who like, if you had to say before, would you say Doc Rivers had more or less respect league-wise than Budenholzer? It'd be pretty close, right?
Yeah, it'd be pretty even.
It'd be pretty –
for the same reasons, too. They have very similar trajectories and always looking pretty good in the regular season and, like, falling apart in the playoffs.
And we're getting a similar result, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You can say Budenholzer would have looked great with Dame, but also, like this team is much older than 2021. Like, this team is much older. So,
yeah.
So, again, you don't have to comment on any of that. I'm just saying maybe there was a lot of great reasons for them not to listen to that guy, but we had to assume that this would be around the time, if it was ever going to get better, they would have had their, like, we're getting this all together moment. And, like, again, like I said, when it happened, like, I guess we'll just never know. Maybe he was just that bad. Maybe he was just that dumb. Or maybe you hired him, but you were like, Terry Stotts is really the coach. And maybe the player, right. Maybe the players knew from the jump Terry Stotts is really the coach, and maybe that's why it never worked. And maybe organization like the Celtics, say what you want, like the Lakers are a bad organization. The Celtics are a great organization, right? Like look how much they're still getting out of Horford and all these guys. Like, they know what they're doing. We don't really like their two stars that much, but that's an organization. And organizationally, the Bucks, like, undermine this dude. Or just were too sloppy with their 27 owners and everything else to really have the thing dialed in and figured out. And I don't know if, like, Boston being in the shadow of the Patriots and all these other organizations, they just have it more dialed in. Well, we're like, hey, we're going to do this, but we're also going to undermine it. And we got, like, a bunch of stuff going on, and it's all fine. We're all making money. And I thought the whole point of not letting Middleton walk, like, we paid everybody. You think we paid everybody and traded for a Hall of Famer? You think everybody would have shut up until, like, January 1st, right? Like, everybody's direct deposit was still hitting, right? Like, there's no questions. There's no questions. Everybody got paid. Giannis resigned. Everything was zipped up. And it was still, like, it's still chaos. And I can't really put that all on the rookie head coach. Like, they shouldn't have hired him then. Sorry for that rant.
I don't think we're – neither me, Jay, or myself put it all on him. I'm saying it was – it's a collective. I mean, it's at least three different things to why they're not firing on cylinders like they should be.
But Kendrick, like, you think we're going to lose to the Heat again. So if we lose to the Heat again, we'll be mad. We'll be moving on to whatever else.
I'm just saying there's a strong chance. I hope that we make it out of the first round. I mean, I'm more hopeful of that we'll make it out of first round than us ever being Boston.
But what I'm saying, though, is if we fail again, and I mean, if we just fall on our face again, then again, we'll move on to talking baseball or just not talking about it. Everybody will be busy.
What happened was the gamble didn't work out.
But at a certain point,
like they put all this money in. They didn't want to go the route they had gone, like, the last 3 or 4 years, you know. And what was it, like, 2 years? 2021, we won. 2021-22 season, 22-23. And then they're like, okay, we can't keep doing this. So let's just try something else.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
if we lose in the first round, it didn't work.
Okay,
it was a valiant effort. It didn't work.
But look at it like the Rodgers years, right? And I'm not saying anyone was right. Let's just pretend I was wrong. Let's say I was real pro
Rodgers. I don't think this is a Rodgers year.
No, but like,
the
check
Bucks
it out.
The Bucks did something way more than they ever would do for Rodgers. Remember when Lynch wanted to come here? Rodgers, okay. They played together in Cal. He was trying to get him.
I mean, Rodgers was begging for receivers. And what was that idiot who stroked out and wouldn't quit his job for a whole nother year and a half? Ted Thompson. He would not get anybody. It was all draft and develop.
Well, he remembered because he did that. He did it the far first, so he remembered. Here's what I'm saying, though. Kendrick. Yeah. And you know, we had these fights. I'm not saying it's that, but I'm saying, like, in 2015, after the Bostic or whenever that was, like, in the middle of it, let's just pretend I was wrong, right? Like, I was saying, no, you got to believe in Rodgers, and you guys were like, he stays too long in the pocket, he holds the ball, he doesn't go for it, he takes sacks because he doesn't want to throw, all that stuff, right? In 2015, we were in the middle of it, but then, as it turns out, there were, like, 6, 7, 8, however many more years of, oh, yeah, that was basically right. You know, can't get it done. Like, is gonna let things not work. Like, we're in the middle of it. I'm just saying, if we don't win again, at a certain point, we have to say the culture wasn't good enough. And wow, what a great ride it was. But the culture wasn't good enough. And I think that's all anybody's saying with Jay is like, are we busters? And it's like we said it the championship year. We've been saying it since we've been talking about this. The fundamental lack of seriousness is something that, like, it could work, but if it doesn't work again, it's not because we don't have enough talent. It's just because we're not winners like that. We can win, but we're not winners like that. I guess that's maybe a better way of saying it.
Yeah. And on that, historically, who you're describing is the Green Bay Packers, a team that you're frustrated with because you know you're good enough to win, but you know, like, when it comes down to it, you have no faith in these dudes because whatever it is, the small things, which for the Packers is special teams, for the Bucks it's defense and trying hard, probably won't show up
for the right, Bucks in the big game. Execution.
Yeah. So like, we finally got love and I could root for the Packers, like, on a maybe hope kind of train. And then the Bucks turned into the old Packers. And now I'm worried about, like, them just not trying hard.
Yeah.
I just think about it this way too. I mean, it's like we have this fatalist approach or look at it, and every year, I mean, we didn't think they were going to win in 2021. Everything just had to fall the right way. Everything worked out. These are the same players that you guys say play with no heart, you know? So I just don't buy that they're not playing or they're not serious. I don't believe that, not even for a second. I think that those guys are very serious. I think you just got to have everything work out at the right time. We had the injury last year. I think to both of the players, right? Giannis fell on his coccyx and he was never right. It was something. I don't think it has anything to do with their heart or seriousness or flushing these games. I mean, what would make you think that they did take it seriously? What's the opposite approach, like them screaming? I think they're playing as hard as they can.
No, within their system. If you watch,
I don't think they're not taking it.
Have you watched, like, the last 8 games? Because, like, you see it in certain games.
I watch every game. This was the first game.
You watched the Clippers game?
Yep.
They looked completely and wholly different than they've looked for the other games. They came out with the fire of a playoff team. That is what I'm talking about.
You know they're playing a whole other team. And even with the Phoenix game, Dame had 16 assists because everybody made their shots when he passed it to him.
But it's not about points. It's about the scrappiness. Like, we will win all of these games by 10 to 15 if we don't make dumb turnovers. We box out and seal. And we actually scrap for the ball. It's like 3 things, and it's just effort. It's just effort. Pritchard got off tonight, not because Pritchard is better than Dame. He got off because he tried harder and moved faster. And the faster was just
Pritchard
him trying.
Does
their
that
biggest run tonight, I would love to see it. Outside of the Tatum run
team
early.
That he plays with.
Mm-hmm. Pritchard won the game.
Right, but their biggest run was when they put in all their bench players. Like, their starters were out when they extended the lead. And that always happens to us because either we take our foot off the, oh, I get to break because this guy is in a starter role, if you want to look at it that way. I don't think that's what it is. I think these guys actually work hard, and they outwork us. That's all. And Miami's always going to outwork us in the playoffs. And that's why I would never pick Milwaukee to beat Miami in this year. Historically, they had much more talent and were actually working hard on D. This year, not a chance.
Which is why Middleton has to come off the bench. Middleton has to come off the bench. He's got to be the second quarter guy. Like, there's only one path forward.
Nothing Doc has done has made me think he doesn't – like, he's figured out that he can't play Connaughton and he can't play Middleton or how to play them. So, like, that's right. Also – I'm not putting any faith in that. Middleton's getting tons of minutes, and he should coming off the injury to see what he can do. But I can't explain for the life of me why Connaughton is getting all of these minutes. Like, A.J. Green deserves those minutes more. He plays defense better. He works harder and shoots better. Like, I don't understand – it is like you're legacied in to get these minutes, and you can't have that when you have low effort, especially.
It's almost like he's
if you can't
it's
bench, like Connaughton, who can you bench?
It's almost like he's Giannis' best friend. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Well, clearly you can't pull Dame out. I don't know anything. This is really I felt this is like a really good talk. Anything else we want to get into? Is there any other like take? I'm just kind of enjoying talking, but I don't know.
You pull out Connaughton, and who are you replacing him with?
Doesn't matter. It's positionless basketball. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can put in you should be running Jackson. You should run a longer lineup with active hands. Did you see any active hands tonight? We saw that also in the Clippers game, and no one's active hands tonight. So please go watch the Clippers game and then watch tonight's game, and you'll see what I mean. It's not just Giannis not being there. They didn't have active hands.
But when you watch it from the above the hoop camera, from the NBA, like the ESPN3 angle or whatever else, you see, to speak to Jay's point, there'd be times where somebody would go baseline and the Celtics would just push him out of bounds. And I'm like, what happened? And all of a sudden it's like Horford and some other white guy just closing the bald, terrible, the hairline guy for the Celtics. And it's just like, yes, you were like, wow, did Dame step out of bound here? Is he going to get again, it's just a half step everywhere. But it is caring, but like we don't care. Like that's not really part of our skill set. Right. And I always go back to like, I think it was the 2004 finals. I'm sure I probably told this before. I mean, it's not even something to tell, but like the 2004 finals, like the Lakers, when they finally lost to the Pistons, and the Lakers were like, we're going to try to match the Pistons level. And the Pistons were like, no, we do this every single day, every single practice. Like, yeah, Kobe's going to try to do it, but like you can't just all of a sudden make yourself the 2004 Pistons. Like, not that we're trying, you know what right. I mean? But it's just like, no, we're they're a defensive team, right? They have solid principles, and had somebody else been out, Porzingis or somebody else could have got 40. It's not really so much about the offense, but it's just about making plays. Again, I say all this, dude, and it's going to be Bucks Nuggets. Like I keep saying this and like I'm down because like we're talking. It's going to be Bucks Nuggets. Dude, the Celtics aren't as good as us. I keep coming right back to that. And I think we should also – I'm just going to talk out of every side of my mouth. It's difficult because they cheat for the Celtics. But it's not like Brown and Tatum have really figured this out either. They're just chuck also. It's just they're younger and you could argue better at it. But if the whistle gets swallowed a little bit more, maybe at least in Milwaukee, it's not like that doesn't benefit us also. It's not like they have great shot selection. It's not like they're not just completely based on step back prayers also. But it's just defensively and everything else, they're just it's more cohesive. But like if I have Giannis and Dame and I have all these stars on the team and I have diminished Middleton and I have like all these other nuclear guys and like Derek White is going to be the difference. You just got to be like, well, the Celtics were better at basketball than us. But it does. That's why this is so fun. It does come down to this year. Next year we'll be too old. Like it's not like Dame's going to get quicker next year unless he gets on that LeBron plan. But like this is the year.
I agree. That's the most disappointing part for me, you know, that this ride is about to come to a conclusion because these guys are getting older. And this year they took their shot, and I don't think it was enough and a little bit in the wrong direction. But we'll see. That's why we play the games, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to head out, man. Getting tired.
Jay, anything else? We can stop.
No, not for you. I'm good, man. Just sick of yelling at my TV. That's all. Just sick of yelling about bad rotations and low effort. Just
I can't. I can't tell you how nice it is just not even knowing what happened. You're like, do we have the ball? Do they have the ball? What happened? You're just like, I don't know.
I didn't expect them to win, not without Giannis. I seen Drew wasn't playing. I was like, maybe, but what's his name? White. Is it? What's his first name?
Derek White. Yeah.
Derek White. He's a good defender, you know. Pritchard always comes in and, man, always been scrappy. Same with that TJ O'Connell or McConnell on Indiana or whatever, wherever he is.
Same guy. Yes.
It's the same dude, you know. Yes. It's the same dude, yes. Different uniform, different look, different features, but scrappy, just a hustler, you know.
20 years from now, so, they'll be like, Pritchard couldn't play in this NBA. You think Pritchard could play? It's like, no, those guys can always play. They're like, those guys can always play. Oh,
for sure.
They're like players from like 1962, and it's just like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. They're those high energy guys, man. They hustle. Pat used to be that way, but Pat got slow.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? We don't have anybody on our bench. You keep on saying put Ajax in there. That boy is terrible. Terrible.
Well, he's not.
You're crazy.
He's not.
You're crazy. You might as well exit now.
You want to say that he's scrappy, but he can't shoot. Worth a hill of beans.
You don't need him to shoot. We got too many shooters. The problem is defense.
Okay.
We can score 140. Don't have him shoot. And actually, he's a pretty good passer. He sets up a lot of nice assists. He's actually a better passer than Dame by quite a bit. So
I'm okay with it because it's not a big loss. I just don't think it's going to be any big difference.
You got to seal, man. We are given so many second chances at the hoop when we finally get a defensive stop. And those we lost by three. You can point to like two or three of those dumb plays and just be like, yeah, that was it. And we didn't even have Giannis. But we're going to consistently keep making those because no one seemed to like point at themselves and say, my bad. It's just like, oh, that happens. It's basketball. No, man. Don't make that pass.
Mm-hmm.
And Dame's over to the corner because he assumed someone would be there. Like he had Portis underneath at the end of the half and he just like passed it to a location he hopes he's at. Like it's the. Look, use your eyes. I don't know why we keep throwing to where we think someone might be or where the defender might not be. Like, oh, it's so frustrating.
But again, I said this, and again, you have to tip your cap to Steph so much. But Steph isn't a point guard. If you're a chucker, you're a chucker. Iverson wasn't a point guard. Lillard isn't a point guard. Steph isn't a point guard. If you're there to bomb, you're there to bomb. And so because Dame is so bad at passing, like he just doesn't have the angles. He's like just everything. He's not used to it. He should just, his vision cone should be right at the rim. And you'd be like, oh man, he had Portis underneath. He should have passed to Brook. And you just got to live with that. I want him on the Trae Young plan. And I want Giannis to do Giannis stuff. And that, like, that's the only way this is going to work to me. Is he's not a point guard. We don't have a point guard. Giannis is making fun passes. That's all great and everything. It's Dame is there to be Iverson. We have Giannis and we have Iverson and we have a bunch of other guys. And maybe that works, but
they're not going to play him that way, though.
You can tell Dame to play the exact same way, except for tell him to change one thing. And that one thing is when he gets by his man, he always makes a beeline to the hoop. Make the CP3 jut out to the right to get that open 4-footer. And that's when he gets enough space to pass to the trailer. He closed the line too tight, and there's no room for Giannis or Lopez to move through. If he just does his same pullback that he does on the three, 4 feet from the hoop, now he can pass. He just needs room. He's not giving himself the room.
Good night, gentlemen.
Well, this has been fun. All right, fellas.
All right. See you, Kendrick.
Later. Bucks win, Bucks win, Bucks win. The glass half full, glass half empty season continues. Much like most games, a lot of good takeaways, a lot of bad takeaways. I walked the dog during the third quarter because it was obviously a laugher because Derry Bird wasn't missing. And then all of a sudden we were down three again as I'm trying to edit this podcast. And as you are no doubt well aware, this was a Dame time game. And this was a Dame defensive presence at the end of the game with the steals too. So fun. So again, just like everything else, it's kind of like it shouldn't have come to this, which reinforced every conversation is going to be two sides of your mouth. Every conversation, you're just like, wow, I'm really happy with the way the game ended. It shouldn't have come to that. And it's really exciting. I felt something. I got my money's worth. But also, we don't look like a championship team when we're losing to the Nets, who don't basically have too many good players. Like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Somebody said Giannis didn't quite look right. What was the port? Like, again, I'm watching with the sound off. Seemed like every time I turn around, Portis was in the hallway. Was Portis tweaked too? People, it seemed like people on Tresky or somebody else was saying, like, people were saying that Giannis didn't look right. Bucks win. Bucks win. Everything, as always, everything we've always said has been right, and everything we've always said has been wrong. But we're going to have to do it this year. So we'll just wrap with this. I was actually going to put this at the beginning. I'm going to put just a little. This is from right after Griffin got fired. I thought I'd be jumping in. I'm just too lazy. I thought this morning I'm going to jump in a bunch of times and be like, well, what I meant with the Griffith thing is this, or what I meant with this is that. I don't care. I mean what I say. There's probably a way to be a little bit more articulate or take my time and slow down and really make a good point. But if you want to hear me, like, really make a good point that's really internally coherent, that's what the YouTube videos are for, which I don't really do anymore. So, whatever. Hope you enjoy. If not, but I don't think I'm going to play the whole thing, but I'll close with, like, the best 5 minutes of this. Not so much because it's super relevant anymore, just because I wanted to put it in at the time and didn't get around to it. So, zip it up, zip it out.
Himself. Okay, so let's just hit some quick topics in the, you know, home stretch of this whole thing. And what I like about having Bomani on, I feel like it's like a car we can drive anywhere. You know, I'm almost confident I can just throw anything at you. It's like on a game show, it's a vacation to anywhere. But this whole Doc Rivers situation, Bomani. Doc Rivers, you know, ESPN broke up their broadcast with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, fired them effectively, bring in Doris Burke promote her, and then bring in Doc Rivers. And now Doc Rivers apparently is going to be coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Their coach, Adrian Griffin, people say he was in over his head, even if they were winning. He's out. What takes do you have on this?
First of all, I did a Gilbert Arenas podcast last week, and I made the point, and they agreed with me. Nobody knows when it's over quite like the roster of an NBA basketball team. When those guys say it's over, it's not just over because they said it's over. It's over because they know it's over, right? Yes. Like, it's not, I mean, people think of it as like look at them as like mutineers in those situations. But very often they're just observers with the keenest eye, and they're just like, hey, man, they know what a coach looks like, and they know when they don't have one. And they seem, those players seem to say that they didn't have one. And once the ones that matter go ahead and say it. Like when people talk about Magic Johnson being a coach killer, and it's like, no, he's just the one who said it. Right. Like when the one guy says it, it's because the whole team been saying it. And then it's just, you know, me and the fellas was over here talking and we just think we need some changes. And then it's going to wind up being some changes. What I find so funny about this is they asked Adrian Griffin to, you know, work with Doc Rivers as a consultant. The team wanted him to do that. And Adrian Griffin,
it's a Philadelphia Eagles, Eagles situation.
He should have never taken a single one of Doc Rivers' phone calls. Because it was over at that point. And here's the reason. Doc Rivers is not was not retired. He just wasn't coaching no more. He wanted to coach. He was not like, I'm out of the business. There's no way that you could trust anything Doc Rivers told you, because Doc Rivers wanted your job, because Doc Rivers wants a job, let alone a job with Giannis and Dame. But yeah, he wants that job. And so what do you know? Now he's got that job. And which of us knows or thinks that Doc Rivers is the guy in 2024 to get you to a championship? Which of us thinks that?
I mean, this might be the roster to do it, but he does have a little bit of Kyle Shanahan, strange contextual decisions. It almost seems like this is a weird thing to say about a coach. It almost seems like he wants it too bad. Like, yeah. There's like this weird kind of desperation. Maybe I'm reading into his raspy voice. It's like a salesman who overtalks the sale. Gil from The Simpsons comes to mind, who I think might have been based on that character from Glengarry Glen Ross that Jack Lemmon played. But there's just this, I don't know. It's like Doc is kind of a famous joker. There's no other way to say it. It's just what's been happening.
And I could point out each of those individual 3-1s, for example. And yeah. I think the Clippers ones, the Clippers Nuggets one is the only one where I'm like, yo, I don't have anything for you on this. Yeah. Like others, I could point to whatever it is, but it sure seemed to keep happening to you. Like, you know, the people that just always got bad luck. Right? Like, wow, your house burned down twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing where we can come up with an explanation. We can say it's this and it's that, but it just keeps happening. Now, the other perspective is that Adrian Griffin was not competent. And just by inviting a guy in, I mean, everybody would say that Doc Rivers is a good coach. A lot of what the Warriors ended up doing offensively was stuff that Doc did. And I once asked him about that and how weird that was to see so much of his offense implemented by the Warriors. I'm trying to remember what the coaching tree explanation for that was, and I'm trying to
build. Adams.
It wasn't Ron Adams. God, this is now just killing me. Who was with Doc, who installed what the Warriors did, who was on their staff? Anyway, we don't need to explain this, and I just remember that to be so. I remember that to be the case. So there's something to it, but it is funny. Alvin Gentry, thank you, Anthony. Yep. God, I loved Alvin. Alvin was just the funniest guy. I remember when he was looking for jobs and the Sacramento Kings, Vivek was telling him to try to play 4-on-5 and cherry pick. And I said to Alvin, we were at a shoot around. I go, well, it seems like for that job, you might need to play 4-on-5, Alvin, you know, like, would you be willing to play 4-on-5? And Alvin looks at me and he just goes, for 3 years, $15 million, I'll play 3-on-5.
Hey, man, we all got a boss.
I love that guy. But yes, I think basketball wise, it's probably the correct decision. It's probably the best they could do at this particular juncture. But to what you were saying, to have Doc as a consultant who wanted the job, I mean, NBA is a brutal world. NBA is Game of Thrones. It is vicious behind the scenes.
I said on my podcast, Doc walk in, like, what's your first suggestion? Highlight your boy. That's my first suggestion. That's the let me tell you how you turn this thing around. You're looking at him, baby. You're looking at him.
He pulled the Dick Cheney. He pulled the, who should be vice president? Well, let's see. Me. That's who should do it. And that's the guy right there.
The way I said it on my pod, I was like, he went to the owners and they were like, yo, give us a list of all the things that you should do to fix this. I mean, he tells all the things you should do. And he gave him this whole list. And then he goes to Adrian Griffin. He says, look, man, they asked me to give them a whole list of things to do. And, you know, I'm trying to get this money, you know. So I told him that, like, you know, I gave him the list. But this is what I'm going to tell you. You stay true to what you're doing. They'll come around. They'll listen to you. You do what you need to do. And everything.
Don't listen to them.
Yeah. You can't let them move you off your square. You do what you're supposed to do, and everything gonna be right. And then just sit back and wait. That's all you gotta do. Because look, man, they clearly gonna give you the job, right? They got a coach, and they came to ask you what the coach should be doing. You the coach. You gonna be the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I think a lot of that, and this is maybe what we're going to end on, is this an inflection point for Giannis and the media coverage? He's been this kind of cuddly guy, this persona. He's won a championship, but I mean, he got Bud out of there. Like, let's not mince words about it. He's talking to the media saying that there's no such thing as failure. Well, he can in his coach. So obviously there is such a thing as failure. I think the assumption is that Adrian Griffin was hired because that's what Giannis wanted, and now he's out of there. Are we going to cover Giannis different, or is the NBA just in this weird place right now where everything just feels kind of loosey-goosey and Greg Popovich can win 15 games for the rest of his career and nobody cares?
Well, that one.
I mean, you could go with that one. You could take that one. Either that way, dealer's choice.
That one for me is just like with Popovich. You're just not going to tell me that the plan is to be as bad as they are. Like, forget about year by year. They might be the worst team in the NBA this year, and that's indefensible. Like, if you've been working on this for 4 years, you didn't know you were going to get Vic, right? So if you had not gotten him, what was this going to be this year? Were you going to be even worse than this? Like, how in the world are you so bad? But I do think with Giannis, it's good for him. He's already gotten that ring.
Yeah.
You know, once you get that. But now Magic Johnson had two rings. I mean, he had a ring, and then he got Paul Westhead out of there, and he still took the brunt of what that was. To me, as someone who has had to get somebody fired before, it doesn't feel good, right? Like, I actually look at the NBA player with I don't think they get enough credit for the courage that it takes to go stand up and be like, hey guys, y'all gotta get this, like, I like him too, but y'all gotta get this dude out of here. Like, you know, maybe you get a guy like Jason Kidd who seems to live for that sort of thing. But, you know, most people don't want to do that. And so for Giannis, I'm not inclined to be the one to judge him. But at the same time, I'm right there with you. It's a good thing he got that ring, because we look at those shortcomings that the Bucks had up to this point as Budenholzer's shortcomings and not his.
Close your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. We must not trust them. Tell me what comes into your mind.
Life. Balance. I see fire.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
What happened?
I sensed darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?